Hello and welcome to Dana's talk this afternoon. Thank you for coming. I first came across Dana's work a few years ago when I was on the selection panel for the Gerwood Photography Award. And the thing that struck me about it was, as you can see, it's a really strong body of work that had social concerns. As I've sort of mentioned before, a lot of students' work, or students who've just graduated, a lot of their work is always sort of internalised and about themselves and the domestic, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we've shown that kind of work at Impressions before and we'll no doubt show it again. But the thing about Dana's work that struck all of us on the panel was this real strong sense of it was a social documentary, but it had a message without sort of being didactic or hammering at home. And it did that rare thing on when you're with a group of people looking at visual work. It silenced the room as people quietly took in what this work was about. So it's with great pleasure and privilege that I was able to work with Dana a few years later and with Autograph in London to bring this exhibition up to Bradford. How are we going to do this? Are you going to stand here as well? And
and I'm going to run over to you with that other microphone, and sort of you can ask your question. Okay, thank you.
Are we allowed to ask questions during your talk?
Yeah. I'm happy to have it like an open discussion. Yes. So hello, thank you for coming. I'm Dana. I'm a photographer. I would like to introduce you to my work by telling you that this is a photographic study into the human trafficking for sexual exploitation. It's a subject that's not easy to talk about, that in the society that where I come from, it's pretty hidden. Not only that it is an illegal trade, but also the authorities don't like talking about it. So in a way, me coming from that part of the world is a bit of a manifesto of me telling this society, this is going on. You've got no chance. You've got to stop stigmatizing these women. First of all, stop selling them, and then stop stigmatizing, and then treat them as human beings. That's what they are. That's what I met there, little girls. Now, so this is the way I did it. I just want to enter their intimate space and time, and not to be a voyeur in front of their pain, but to use my position as a photographer to bring this issue out in a visual narrative. First of all, the first scope is to inform, to raise awareness, and then later on, I'm not an activist, I'm a photographer, so I do my job. But this body of work has been used quite a few times by the NGOs to bring back somehow, to offer help somehow to these people that have gone through sex trafficking. I shall start with this wall here. Have you had a chance to look at the pictures? Yeah. Okay. This body of work was done in three stages. Chronologically, I started in 2006. I was doing my MA at the London College of Communications. I went to Moldova. The reason I went to Moldova was because at that moment was the main exporter of the women that were sexually exploited. And they were sent up to 42 destinations, including Russia and Turkey, huge destinations. And then also a lot in Western Europe, but as well in Dubai, Israel, and other destinations. So that's the reason I tried to focus there, because that was the land where they were sent out from. That wall there represents basically the second time of the second part of my research, when I went to look at the absence, to look at the women that have been missing for 8, 10 years, 7 years, no trace of them. This was actually my initial approach. I was trained as a photojournalist and as a documentary photographer at that time, but my instinct was, my approach was to look at the spaces where they were gone from. us to deal with subjects in a more subtle way, and probably not so striking, and probably that part of the project wouldn't make it on its own, because you need, in a way, to look in these people's eyes to understand that they actually exist. So I ended up in the first part by looking at the women who survived sex trafficking, and they were now back into their homes. Homes as in homeland, because not necessarily, very rarely, actually, their friends or family know about what they went through. And then I wanted to look at the spaces where these women are held captives and they are forced into prostitution. This is the moment when I should introduce the very definite barrier, distinction between sex trafficking and prostitution. Sex trafficking means that basically a woman is tricked to accept a wonderful offer abroad. They really want to live these Western dreams. This Western dream, meaning that Moldova is formed of very small villages, and people are very poor indeed, and people are back in time, but they have access to television. Every village has a TV, and they have Italian channels there, and their visual understanding of the world is really up to date, but they don't have access to such a thing, and most of the times, every time I spoke to the women who survived trafficking and who were back now in Moldova, they were saying that they were trying to offer a better life to their children. There's many, many people who migrate. There's a lot of, I think 40% of the Moldovan population, as well as in other countries in that region, are working abroad. So I think lots of people are taking the chance to try and live this dream, this kind of life, that they know it exists, but they don't have any little access to it. Now, going back to the story, at the end of the day, it is a story, even though part of it is quite abstract and part of it is very close to the subject, to its subjects. So I was trying to, also I included in the work the spaces where these women are held and forced into prostitution, and I had access to some spaces in London, and you will see that there are pictures here. Not all the time the pictures have captions, because I tried to not to caption in an illustrative way the picture. Already the picture is an illustration. I didn't want to repeat that through words. So what I did, I recorded and I kept with me the words of these women, which were very shocking for me at the beginning. I didn't even need to write them down, though I did. But I thought this is my way to bring their voices out and give a sense to these photographs. So in 2006, when I went to Moldova, I spent 3 weeks. 2 weeks spending time with these girls that were freshly brought back into the country. And they were living for a month in the shelter of International Organization for Migration, where they had a bit of psychological support, they had a shelter, and they had food. Because after 1 month, you really don't know where they are going to go. They're basically sent back to their homes, if they have parents, or a big majority of them, they embrace willing prostitution, because after such a horrible experience, they really don't have a sensation of owning their self. Their real self doesn't exist anymore. I'm not going to go, and I never went into the details of the stories that they were telling me, because it's quite appalling. And I really hoped that the pictures, through the subtle moments that I managed to capture, are telling more than this sort of specific stories, what happened to them specifically. When I was at the shelter, I really didn't want to photograph there, because this was a transition space. My idea was to see them back in their homes and to see why they left, why they took the risk. because any person that goes abroad with fake papers or with visas that are obtained through different ways that they don't even know how these visas are obtained will think of a risk. And also I wanted to see how they live with this trauma, with this hidden sadness that they have to play. They have to not to show it. That's why this kind of 1 month transition can be good for them to a certain extent. Depends how strong they are. I heard of girls that committed suicide. I've heard of girls that jump off a window and broke their spine and remained forever broken. I mean, they couldn't move anymore. So these stories are quite difficult to say. But I really wanted to photograph them surrounded by that reality that brought that pushed them to this unknown, and then this reality that they had to live with. So if you're going to see, like, for example, on this wall here, there are... it's exactly how I met them. I really traveled through Moldova, and I met women that from all parts of Moldova, and they were trafficked to Turkey, to Russia, to Albania. This girl there, she's only 19 years old. She only wanted to earn some money for her wedding. But when she came back, she gave birth to a child. Many, many, many times they come back or they give birth to children while they are trafficked even. Because there's no contraceptive method, no one wants to use contraceptive methods, and they have to suffer that. They have to. There are many women who stay forever with children which are born out of a rape, and I didn't have the chance to look at that at such specific case, but there are many such cases. She gave birth to a child that she says it's her husband-to-be child, but in the end her husband-to-be left her. So she's basically alone again in the world with a baby. Such stories are... That's what I met there. All these stories of solitude, darkness. Here, these two sisters, they were held... onto a farm in Ukraine. This is basically a case of labor, but one of them, she was sexually abused. But every time I have to say this story, because basically it is a labor trafficking case, but because one of them was sexually abused, and probably she was sexually abused for all that 1 year and a half she was on the farm, I kind of always never say which one. This girl here, this is a horrific case of... she was 16 years old when she was sold in Russia. And she was sold by her neighbor, a lady that saw her growing up. And she was obliged to do forced prostitution in Russia when she was 16. And the pimp allowed her to wear a wig. So when I visited her, she wanted me to visit her in her parents' house, when she wasn't living anymore. But she, I guess she really wanted to show me this wig, and she took it out and she told me this is the wig that I used to wear when I was, you know what I was doing. And for me, it's iconic for this project. It's she's hiding her identity, she's hiding her new created identity behind a past that she's trying to wipe away. So, as well, I had to change their names, all these girls' names. So, in a way, we always change their identity. In a way, we always have to hide them. We always have to protect them somehow. I guess it's never a case when they are forever, they are reintegrated or they are... there's a huge stigma put on them, and even though they are trying to get rid of them, I think in one way or another there will be the society always putting the stigma on them. By the way, I wanted to talk to you about the not Natasha, the name of the book. Natasha, they were telling me, I didn't know. One girl introduced herself to me and she said, "My name is Natasha, haha." And I thought, what's so funny about it? And then they explained to me, well, Natasha is like a nickname given to prostitutes with the Eastern European look. They said actually with a Russian look, but I think it's the Eastern European look. And so they told me, one of the girls, Lyuda, said, I'm not Natasha, you know? I never wanted to be Natasha. I'm not Natasha. But they did call me Natasha, but you know, we're not Natashas. So all these words that they were telling me from time to time, they were so shocking that I really thought that this is a very, very, very good way of bringing their inner soul together with these photographs that I tried to take in a very subtle way. So I did travel throughout the country. I met women who had children and they said, I just wanted to offer them a better life. I met women who said, I'm going to go back to prostitution because that's the only way I know how to make, I know I can make some money. And then I have a very big debt and I had to pay it. And this is the time when I visited, we don't have a picture of this lady here, because sometimes women, even if they allowed me to photograph them, I knew you could tell when somebody accepts you or doesn't. And so I tried to use quite a few elements to put this story together. I didn't want to do just portraits. And so sometimes when the women were accepting me, but just out of a politeness, I could see that. And I chose not to use those photographs out of the respect for them. Because I think the most important thing that they lack and they will always lack is the respect. This woman here, they're all broken, the broken souls and really trying hard to get themselves together and to forget these horrible things that happened to them. And she was trying to continue her life. She was trafficked to Albania in her way to Italy. She was told, you're going to go to Italy and you're going to be a nanny there and everything is going to be wonderful. Of course, she accepted such a wonderful reality. And she was trafficked into Albania. She was kept there for 3 years. She remained pregnant by her trafficker. Very common, these stories. Most of the times they come back with all sorts of mental diseases as well. They're beaten, they're put on drugs, they've got a terrible treatment. And she could show me a picture of her twins, and she didn't really understand that one of her twins, they were small children, is going to die. So basically, I was trying to capture quite a lot of what she was telling me, of her story, into one single photograph. These are some pictures that I took at the shelter of International Organization for Migration. I didn't want to, I wanted to follow my concept, to photograph them in their homes. But then I was hanging sometimes for quite a lot with them, and I was recording their stories, putting them down in my notebook. And then sometimes they really, they were telling me, photograph us, not telling me with words, but they were playing sometimes for the camera. So they were trying to provide me with another reality that I should record. I want to be part of the story. Photograph me as well. This woman here, she was married in Romania, and her husband's family obliged her to do part-time prostitution. And social services noticed something was not all right. They researched the subject, and they took her both children away. So when I visited her, it was 4 years after she lost her 2 months daughter, and she gained the rights to bring her daughter up just 3 days before I visited her. So she was very frightened and emotional. She was frightened of all people that would enter her house because something new, something bad might happen to her. And she was showing me her daughter's past. It's the orphanage that put up together a little book. But it was such a kind of like, the time when I was visiting them, it was just for 1 hour, 1 hour and a bit with a social worker. You don't have time to know a lot about somebody who, when you meet them for 1 hour, right? Especially when you're digging into their past and they're really not comfortable talking about it. So, in fact, I was more talking about what I'm doing. So I was very careful and I was explaining to them everything like that. But sometimes moments, sudden moments, because when, even if they understood when they were not, the moment they accepted me, they really wanted to bring out something, to bring something out of them. And she, in the last moment, she said, "Can you just not photograph my face frontal?" So, and she just kind of tried to hid herself there. So she was trying to show me something, but at the same time to keep herself hidden. This is when I took that photograph. In a way, I talked to you about the project from a chronological point of view, but this is not how I put the project together. I meant to have a visual flow in and out, from the places where they are missing and who they are and the places where they might find themselves. So just to go back to the second time I visited Moldova, I wanted to look at the places that still had something of the women there. The women that are gone for example, 7 years or 2 months. I'm sure you had a look at those pictures there. So I combined the spaces which were empty, but they were still warm with some sort of a presence. For example, there's a second picture on the wall there. It's the bedroom of a 15-year-old girl that disappeared for 2 months. Gone, with no trace, even though the family makes huge efforts to find her. She disappeared on her way to school. And I did meet a case when the parents were working abroad, and this was the case as well of this child. What happens is like a second generation that is vulnerable. Parents are working abroad, legally or illegally. These children are growing up with the grandparents, or on their own. There was a case of a girl that was held right at the border there with the money that her parents would send from home, from abroad home. And some traffickers somehow got track of this girl, tricked her out, took her money, and they're going to lure her somewhere abroad. So I'm looking at the space. The second picture there is a room, the room of a woman that went missing for 8 years. So she was offered a job abroad. This is her mother telling me. She was offered a job abroad. A white car came and took her away in the evening. She called once from Moscow, and that's all. 8 years, complete silence. She returned after 8 years in a coffin. This is the morbidest story out of all of them. I feel like I'm sorry to tell you all this story, but I shouldn't be sorry, because what I did is just I kind of tried to capture a reality. So I'm visiting the house where she lived, and this, it's her bed, and on the bed is a bag that she came with her from Moscow. And she had some sort of pictures that she was, friends and herself, was taking of herself. And they were taking pictures of each other, and they live in a kind of like underground, under the buildings. And it's for 8 years, we presume she has been living there. But I just want to say this is another way of collecting memories. I thought of doing that, in the end I didn't. But it's through pictures that capture the reality without any intention. It's just the memory. The only purpose of the picture is the memory of that moment. So I had access to that memory. I didn't do anything with them, but I could see her. I could see her alive, and she's dead there, basically, in that bag there. The next picture, it's a house that I actually had to break in with the help of the mayor, of course. It wasn't hard, very easy. It's a place where a young mother and her daughter lived for a while. It was their house. Then the mother accepted a job abroad. She disappears. The child lives there for 5 months on her own. Of course, neighbors helped a lot. But at a certain point, social services were told of this happening. So they took the child away. She was about 4 or 5 years old. And that's when I entered the space. And I was really fascinated with these pictures on the wall. You know, I don't know if there was family or these are pictures bought at fairs just to decorate the space. But that's what I'm trying to say. I'm attracted to details that contain these women that I'm talking about. In 99% of the cases, the police says this is a classic case of disappearing. So I worked as well again here with the NGOs that were confirming this is trafficking, because you know what, you need some sort of authority to confirm that. That's why in the first place I work with an NGO, because it's very hard to find families. And as well, here's a photograph that I really, really think is very good, and I like it a lot. Again, this is a woman that disappeared. She accepted a job abroad, and when I visited her house, I met her very young daughter. Very cute daughter, very intelligent, and she told me, my mom is going to come back for Christmas with the red jacket she promised she's going to bring me. But of course, I was led to this place by an NGO that said, this woman seems to be trafficked. She was gone for a year now. And this is a picture that I found stuck on a furniture. And for me, this is the best way of capturing her, maybe for the last time, I don't know, but I'm bringing her into the story. And I think this is an amazing photograph, you know, meant as a memory, but here you go. That's what's left of her at the moment. Maybe she will appear again.
Do you want to see something about the text?
Yes. The text, the way the text goes within this gallery is very, very good. Because, I have to say that because I try to keep the text as short as possible. I don't want to talk, I don't want to say my opinion, or I don't want to say put an academic text about what trafficking is. I really wanted to bring the inside of these people out with the pictures. And this is their words. Why do you have to dig up my life again? This is what this young girl told me. Why do you have to dig up my life again? But she told me because we were in a good relationship, on a good level of relationship, so she could afford talking to me like that. The lady whose daughter was dead said, this is what the driver of the car told my nephew, and the nephew ran after his mother. He was only 3 years old. Don't cry, my boy. Mommy's going to bring you candies. So this sort of text really conveys a lot of what's going on from the beginning till the end. So in the gallery, the text doesn't belong to a specific picture. It's almost not, they're almost not captions. They are fragments of these people's lives. What else should I tell about the text?
Diana, can I just ask you a question? There's one more photograph that is of a photograph, which is just that seascape out there. And I just wondered what that photograph was about.
Yes, that photograph, I took it in Turkey. It is known now that over 400 women and so were brought back from Turkey to Odessa. It didn't matter they were not from Odessa or from Ukraine. They had to be from somewhere that side of the country. What happens, many women who are caught in this trade have a visa or don't have a visa. Often they do have a visa, a legal visa, while they're trafficked, because police works to a certain extent with traffickers, some police. So these 400 women were... how do you say, when you throw them out of the country? They were deported. They were deported. They were deported on two boats that would go weekly, Odessa, Istanbul, Odessa, and back, yeah. But they were deported from Istanbul. They are caught without a visa. They are thrown into a detention center, which is not as nice as in England. It's a pretty bad place to be. All the money are taken from them, if they have any money. And then if no one claims them, if no one brings them some documents to travel back or some sort of documents, they're just thrown onto these two boats. When I went to Turkey, there was just one boat. So what I did, I tried to went through the trip they did, these girls. This is how I did this story, getting very close to the subjects. I tried to go through what they went in a way. I wanted to go on their traces. I didn't want to be sex trafficked, of course, but I wanted to step on their traces, to be as close to their reality, because reality, it is an interpretation at the end of the day, by choosing the subject, by composing, by looking at specific things, etc. But I really wanted to try and make this story as close as possible to their reality.
Why were you interested in photographing those stories?
Yeah. I found out about sex trafficking. I didn't know much, but I knew something. And I know that people in these societies, because these countries have always been put down and they don't have a good reputation, they always try to hiding not the nice truth. I was once in Vienna, and a representative of the Moldova, of the Republic of Moldova, said, "You know what? Why didn't you show our wonderful sunny hills?" And I said, "Look, I don't want to put a bad cast on you. And this is not intended for you. This is intended for the whole world. This is looking at a form of violence in a way, right, against women. I knew it existed, and I wanted to find out more about it. So once I went and I met these women, these five women at the International Center of Migration, and once I talked to them, and when they were telling me about the underground brothels in Turkey, and they were telling me about the detention center, all these destinations for me were going to be part of the project. And in a way, this whole body of work, in a way, is a sort of a manifesto for me as a woman coming from these societies to show it exists. So that's what I wanted to do, except for proving that I can take some pictures, really.
I think you've proven that very well. I think this might be a good opportunity to ask people... okay.
You know, you're saying that you were talking to women that have come out of the situation, but you have a picture there with, like, costings and stuff of what customers can have. How did you obtain that to take a picture of that?
Some pictures from the project are taken in flats in Soho. This is taken from the flats of Soho, and that was the moment when I was looking at the spaces where women might exist now. These women that are missing from there, you know, these people holding the pictures, and there's a first photograph there from the book that, for me, it's a very strong picture. I'm going to talk about it very quickly because that's important. There are other pictures. That picture next to the price list is as well taken in the flats of Soho. The pictures, the two yellow pictures there next to on this wall, second and third picture, this picture here, they're very different in content, because I was looking at the detail of these places, and some were cold, like you will see the yellow pictures, they are very, very cold and not, but some are decorated like in a, like it would be like a family, like a house. There. So this is how I obtained that picture there. It's the places where these women end up. And I knew about this from a trafficked woman from Moldova into this country, who basically took me by my hand and showed me the windows of the flats in Soho. I thought I knew everything about London, but it didn't cross my head. And she was actually explaining to me, this interior is, this can be a little bit stinky. That one there is better. So that's how I obtained that photograph there. Yeah. And, yeah. That's okay. Ah, that's what, oh, okay. And yeah, I don't know. What do you think about that picture there? Can I ask you about that picture of the price list? Anyone wants to tell me?
Not that I know all the answers, but I think it's really, really important. I mean, some people say it's quite unsubtle, but for me, I think sometimes you have to really hammer that message, if I can use that word, home, because this is a direct result of what your photographs are saying. This is what it leads to. And I think it sort of, well, for me, it's, you know, stops me short and think, ah, this is actually what it's all about. And I think yeah, okay, they're quite obvious images, but I think they really are powerful ones and are really important to the whole sort of narrative you've built up in this body of work.
That's thank you, Anne. Yes, I actually, you see, every time I talk, people talk to me about this project, I actually find things about this project myself. As well. You said that it's not subtle. That's why I didn't like it, because the picture that I like and the way I like to look at this project is subtle. So at the beginning, I really had big question marks where I should put it. But every single person, authorities in photography, they really suggested that this picture should be in. And I think it's a good way of putting it at the end, because I don't want to kind of tell you everything. But on its own, this picture doesn't mean anything. It means prostitution. I'm not talking about prostitution, but within it, in a way, it's almost a cliche that I needed. And it does say a lot. I said I'm going to talk about, if you have the chance, please have a look at have a look on the book as well, and have a look on that wall there. And the wall ends with a picture that I'm opening the book with. And the reason I'm opening the book with that photograph is because, for me, it does contain within the complexity of this project. And believe me, can be even more. Can be shown in a more complex way. It's a girl that. She can remember her mother's face, but not very well, because she disappeared 2-3 years ago. And she really wanted to try her mom's favorite dress on. So for me, I'm looking at this girl and I'm seeing her growing up, and she's growing into her mother image. She doesn't remember her mother. She misses her a lot. And I'm wondering, is she growing up to be as vulnerable as the mother? And then you're going to have people there that are missing their daughters for 7 years. And then I'm going to have pictures of women that were trafficked when they were 12. And what they told me was this: I don't want to talk about it. And I didn't ask any extra word. But she did pull out some letters that her friends wrote when she was missing, for 2 weeks only, but she was gone missing. And that's what I photographed. So I guess I'm trying to many times look at things that would tell a story instead of looking at people. But the people in these photographs here are bringing a lot to the subject, because you have a direct contact with that. I guess for visitors to the body of work, you need a contact with people. The photograph that I'm almost ending there with, the girls lying in the grass, It's the times when I was hanging out with them at the shelter, and we were sharing long walks. These people don't have an exciting life, you know. It's Moldova. It's not Western Europe, you know. It's not much to do. You drink tea. You go out for a walk. You go in the park. You talk with your friends. You play cards. You read a book. Yeah, you watch a lot of TV, unfortunately, recently. And they were walking in the park, and they really loved every Saturday to go out, or Sunday, I can remember Sunday, I think, to go out and watch the brides of the day. Because the brides of the day, they get married to the town hall, and they go in the park for the pictures. And it was really funny because they were commenting, oh, this is a bit ugly, this is a bit too old, look at that one. But at the end of the day, their little dream, their little hidden dream there is a very simple one, just to have a family later, if possible. Because the stigma is so deep inserted inside them, they have a guilt feeling as well. Psychologists have to work really strongly with them, not for them not to feel guilty. So in a way, that's what I'm saying. This project is about the inside of these women and these women that suffered violence. I don't know what else am I going to talk about.
Does anybody have any other questions?
With the last one, with the picture of the dogs, that is totally different from everything here. What's your intention for that?
That's thank you for the question.
Good question.
Thank you. I like answering. I think it goes better when I can answer because that is my vision of Moldova. But vision of Moldova, I mean, interpretation of the place can be very different. I'm sure that if each of one goes there, we'll come back with a different photograph. But for me, there was one morning in the park, no one there, except for two people out of the picture, but I didn't put them in. it's a little bit sorrow, you know, the place as such. People are confused. At the end of the day, everything has a political message. And this country has been a lot under the East. This country is confused. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of losing identity there, as well national identity. There are mixed race of Russians with Romanians. There are families of people that refuse to speak Romanian. Their language is Moldovan, but it's Romanian. Comes from Romanian language. Because they think speaking Romanian might not bring them a good job, and they live there. I think that you have to put everything into a context. Recently, their government is not anymore communist. I mean, they fought for a long time to change the regime, but they don't know if they want to look towards the West or towards the East. I mean, that's obviously that they want to look towards the West. They want to look where people are rich. But then they can have jobs in Russia. It's easy for them to go and have a job there. So, basically that is a photograph that tells me what is the place like. And again, sends me there. Do I want to really be there, or do I want to be, in a happy, shiny, where everything is possible place? And that's why I'm going to take the chance. At the end of the day, I came here on my own. So I didn't necessarily want to live any dream, but yes, I was happy to look at the windows of the shops. You know, you don't have that yet there, shiny. Everything can transform into a dream, you know, at the end of the day. I don't know.
Okay, I'd just like to say I found this a very moving image of the pram, the veiled pram in the corner. And are you trying to talk about... The stigma and the difficulty of having normal relationships, going back to a husband or a boyfriend before, or starting up a new relation before after what they've been through, or coming back with a child through the ordeal. Would you like to talk a little bit more about the story?
About that specific photograph? I think you were asking me also because of what's written next to it, right? Yeah. Okay. I did meet one happy case. This lady that was trafficked into Turkey, she disappeared for about 4 months. She came back. She told her husband what happened to her. And it was really hard even for me to sit down there next to them, I mean in front of them, and they were one next to each other. She was telling what happened to her friend, but she was actually telling me what happened to her. And both me and the husband knew that this is a story that happened to her. And that's when the husband put his forehead down, and he said, "Look, I know what happened to my wife. It's not her fault because we agreed together that it's a good opportunity for her to earn $200 a month. It's huge. We can live, if she works for half a year, we can live happily 2 years here in our little poor house. So it's not her fault, and no one can condemn her. This specific caption doesn't belong to that photograph, but that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to give a visual, a narrative flow to the story, because at the end of the day, this is a quiet story. It traces an event that happened in the past. So how am I going to photograph that? These people are quiet people as well. They don't want to talk about what happened to them. They're keeping it hidden. It's always through a veil, but sometimes they crack this veil, they take it off, especially when a foreigner comes to them. You know, sometimes it's easier to somebody that you know you're not going to see again, even though I do keep in touch with some girls, especially with one of them. And what you're saying about the relationship, yes, this girl that I keep in touch with, she can never have a family again. She told me that. She has a daughter, so she's happy with that. It's a very, very, very strong girl. And I did come with a book to her, and she went through the book. So she didn't say, take this out of here. She went through the book, and then she said, okay, from this moment on, we don't talk about this anymore, ever. But we do keep in touch. So for me, that is again a representation of the solitude these people have to live, to go through all their lives. It's the effects of what's happening to them. So it's a document of what happened to them, but of what they are going through now. Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the picture of the lady with the sheets covering her? Like, for me, I find that really interesting because I kind of get really mixed feelings about it. I get sort of emotionally dying, but being reborn as well, maybe, and I don't know. I kind of think I'm thinking about it too much, so I'd like to know what
okay.
you think, too.
Well, I guess that's what a picture does. It's reinventing a reality, and then the audience will interpret it. You have to understand that even if, as an author, I had a concept, you know, I had many pictures in my head that I would take and I never took because they didn't happen in front of my eyes. So what you end up is documenting things that happen in front of your eyes. That specific moment is when she had a checkup. That's the girl that I keep in touch with, actually. So what it means, it's she has a heart disease problem that she will have to live with throughout her life because she went through some horrific experiences that she shared with me, and now she's having a checkup. So that's a very simple moment, having a checkup. And so it's the leg there, it's her leg, and because she remained pregnant and some pimp tried to induce an abortion with pills, it didn't work, and she had to have a dead fetus in her body for 2 months, and she still had to be working as a prostitute. She had some problems. So that is a very simple moment of a checkup. But she was one of the girls that was freshly brought back into the country, so she was very close to her experience. That's exactly what those moments mean. And then the hand up there, it's a hand of another girl who was sold by her best friend for $800 in Turkey. And these are marks of her pain, illustration of pain. It's self-harming, really.
Dana, did you find that... that there's a sense of betrayal amongst the girls that have been trafficked? Because often it seems to be people that they trust or that they're vulnerable to. Like you said, that her best friend sold that girl. Do they feel kind of betrayed by these people? And is that part of that pain as well?
I think they are people who can forgive. But yeah, they're in this trafficking business to gain the trust of people. Women do not know that there is such a risk. They are not offered jobs of dancers, and even there are cases when they were offered jobs of dancers in a bar, they still didn't think that such terrible things can happen to them. So to gain the trust of people, somebody in the chain of traffickers had to be very close to them. I met a case of a girl who was sold by her own mother. Apparently, these two girls here, the mother got some money when she sent them to work in Ukraine. The best friend, then there is a picture on the other side of the wall. It's her husband-to-be who sold her. But the husband-to-be, he never meant to be the husband. He dated her for 6 months, but he did that with many other girls in Moldova. So he was dating different girls, and then he was transporting them to... Basically, he was a trafficker probably working on his own, so he didn't have to share the money with other people in the chain. So he would get close to these girls, date them for a while, and then take them to meet his family in Turkey. And women would take the chance. Even if you cross their head for a second that something bad might happen, if somebody's dating you for 6 months and they're very nice and they take you to Turkey, you know, the hope will be stronger than the idea of the risk. And it did sell her. The moment they traveled to Turkey, the moment they arrived in Turkey, he sold her for $2,200. And they know this because every time they are bought by a pimp, the pimp tells them, I paid this amount of money for you, you've got to work them for me, then you're free. It doesn't happen like that. Every time when they're worn out, in a way, they're sold to a new pimp. It's a vicious circle.
That must kind of reaffirm them as a possession as well, that they're constantly told how much money they were paid for.
Yes, it's just a process that destroys them, basically. I mean, when I met them, and every time I met them, they give you the impression they're just little girls. They are human, but they are very fragile. They're severely broken.
Is there a growing awareness that there is a problem amongst people there now? And have you been able to show this exhibition in Moldova or have press coverage of your work that could really help with awareness? Because it'd be interesting to see what effect that could have, because, I mean... there's obviously a huge problem there, and the government does need to act, and how are they acting?
Can you just say again the first part of the question, so I just... I mean, what does the...
Okay, sorry.
The very first part of the question, the very...
I was saying, is the awareness growing?
Ah, awareness,
or is it
yeah.
Still, or is there still... A big problem with people still falling into this trap, or is it more education? Is government helping? Is press televising or reporting on the problem, or is it all still very clandestine in Moldavia itself?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point of view. I mean, it regards to the tools. What is the purpose of this photographic work? One of the purposes of this photographic work. Yes, well, first of all, I have to say it clearly. Women from Czech Republic are trafficked as well, from Lithuania. It just depends where's the destination, you know. It did happen that in Moldova the number of trafficked women was huge because it's very well located to be trafficked to many places easily. So it's not happening only in Moldova. But in Moldova there are quite a few organizations working there, and they're working for a few years now. And they are doing... a good job in what they're doing, but as well the awareness has grown. I mean, from 1 year to another, I was there in 2007 to look at the empty spaces. I was there in 2006. 2006, I don't know what was the awareness, probably none. 2007, there were big banners in the middle of the street saying, "Mommy, come back home." So, yes, the awareness in Moldova is growing a lot, and I think the foreign organizations pushed into that. But in Romania, for example, let's say 3 years ago or 2 years ago, that was really not a pleasant subject to talk about, and no one would talk about it. I tried to photograph there a little bit. I did a bit of work, but no one really wants to talk about it. Now they are talking more about it. There are talk shows. I went into an ex-mining community last year. And out of a blue, I don't normally tell people when I go and I photograph in these places that I did a subject on sex trafficking, because they will imagine that I'm photographing them as sex trafficked or something like that. They're imagining, oh, I want to show the dark things. And this girl that was 18 years old, she was actually telling me a story out of nowhere because she was looking for to get a job in Germany. And so I was talking to her about immigration and how many women from her little, very, very small town in the middle of the mountains were working in Germany, and all the women in that little village were working in Germany. They were doing like this. The grandmother works for 6 months. They're taking care of impaired people. And that, so the grandmother worked for 6 months. Then the grandmother comes back, and then the daughter goes to replace her. So somebody has to be home with the kids. They wouldn't leave the kids only with men. They don't do that. But I was talking to her about these things, and she was telling me how two men came into her village and asked for girls who wanted to work in bars as dancers, and she knew what that meant. But she was just telling to me that out of the blue. So it does mean that they are aware what this is. That was happening in Romania, but I think in Moldova. And what I invite you to watch the film there, which is a very easy to watch and it's informative. And they are making in Albania, for example, where quite a lot of women were trafficked from Albania into the UK and to Italy mainly. It's very easy. So the author of that, the director of that film, has put together a very nice package for Albania. So they are doing an immense campaign there. Yeah.
Dana, we're about kind of coming up to the end of time, but is there anything else that you want to say before we kind of finish? Or
what shall I say? I invite you to, if you didn't have a look around, to have a look around again. I hope this is not a subject that is too harrowing, but at the end of the day, I needed to show it. I have to thank you to Anne. all the staff at the gallery. They've done a brilliant job. They've done an amazing job. Amazing job. I'm really, really happy with this work being shown here. And the best part of it is that there's no censorship. You know, sometimes people want to take some pictures out, and that's again because you want to hide something. And the point of this work is to bring out hidden subjects. What can I say? Thank you very much to you as well that you've been here, and fantastic. You can look. I want to say something. I forgot. After I did the first part of my project, I discovered this book, and this book it was inspiring for me. The feeling of this book, I was able to not to repeat it, but to convey it in my book. It's like being amongst these people, and this is how I wanted to be. I wanted to be part of them. I want to be amongst them, and I want to get as close as possible to them. Please feel free to look at these pictures, you know. They are, and they're also very similar to the pictures that I discovered in the bag that I told you, of the woman that was living in Moscow before she died. It's an author that I really like. Feel free to look at it. Bring it back. It's not even mine, please.
Yeah, so feel free to just stay in the gallery, watch the little 2-minute animation to little girls, and also Dana's book, not Natasha's, for sale in our shop. Pardon?
Sorry, a couple of things. One, can we give Dana a really big round of applause? Thank you very much. Sorry, we're still learning with the microphones. And the other thing is that we're organising, in conjunction with Autograph, an event on the 4th of March, which there's lots of information around the gallery, which is going to be a kind of discussion and an evening film screenings about kind of human trafficking and raising awareness and those kind of things. So if you're interested in that, please do come along to that event. So I think that's everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you.